Get ready. You're tuned in to Tea Time Unfiltered with your girl, Lovely Tea, bringing you the hottest trending topics on social media. Stay connected. Instagram.com/LovelyTea2002.
Hey, you guys. Welcome to another episode of Tea Time Unfiltered with your girl, Lovely Tea. Happy Saturday, everybody. Good afternoon. I hope you guys are doing good today. So I wanted to come on here with a Saturday podcast, and this is going to be kind of interesting. We were having a really dope discussion on Instagram. If you guys do not know, there's like all this mystery going on this year concerning water. So, you know, I had talked about the whole Naya Rivera situation. And when I did that podcast, that was back on July 10th, and I was giving my opinion on what I felt happened to, you know, to Naya. And I felt like this was deeper, this was more spiritual. And I did a lot of research on Lake Piru, and there's been a lot of drownings there. It's been a lot of unsettling energy there. Then on top of that, you know, the name Piru is also one of the biggest blood sets in LA. So some people call it Blood Lake as a nickname. And so in that video and also on my live stream that I did about Naya Rivera, I talked about water spirits. And I know a lot of people thought I was just, you know, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And that's fine. I'm used to it. You know, it is what it is, honey. And so I talked about, you know, that I believe in water spirits and water deities. And I felt like it was something deeper with the whole Naya thing, especially because it seems like she always ties back to the water. Even in one of her most recent videos on her page, she's in a bathtub. And then the whole song that she sang on Glee about, you know, bury her by the riverbed and all that stuff. And I remember when I talked about that, a lot of people were also talking about Lake Lanier and how they got the same creepy vibe when it came to Lake Lanier. And that is a lake in Georgia. And so my first introduction to Lake Lanier, when I first heard about it, was when Tamika Raymond's son, Kyle, died. And that was Usher's stepson. And he was in a boating accident. He got hit by a jet ski. I believe he was like on an inner tube. And he was in a coma for a few days. And they eventually took him off of life support. He was only 11 years old at the time. So that was just super sad. So that was my first introduction to hearing about that lake. And then what was so crazy, I remember when I was in Georgia last year, this guy wanted to take me out. And he was like, you know, oh, we should go out to Lake Lanier. I got a boat. You know what I'm saying? It'll be fun before you go back home to Minnesota. We can just go kick it on the boat. We'll invite some friends, you know, barbecue, just, you know, whatever they do on boats, honey, because I don't do boats. And I told him, I said, oh, no, I don't do lakes. I don't do boats. And he was like, well, what do you mean? I said, I don't do open bodies of water. You know, the most you'll ever get me in like a big open body of water type situation is on South Beach in Miami, where I'm literally just, you know, ankle deep in water, like, oh, this water feels good, and then I'm out. I just cannot do lakes. I've always had a thing with lakes. I don't care what city. Even when I was younger, here in Minnesota, when we go out to like Lake Superior and other lakes, I would just get horrible anxiety, and I can't swim. And even though I've tried to learn, it's just something swimming is just not for me. That is like a fear of mine. I've talked about this before that I believe like in a past life I must have drowned in some shit. Just because me and open bodies of water it doesn't sit well with my spirit. If I can't see the bottom of the water, I just cannot fool with it. Now I will get in pools, but it can't be over 5 foot deep. And the most I usually do, you might just, you know, bob around in the pool. And then usually I'm just in the hot tub. And don't get me wrong, like I said before, I love water. I walk around in the rain. You know what I'm saying? I've been known to come back home soaking wet because I walk a lot. So sometimes I get caught up in the rain. And I have no problem with that. But lakes, anything where it's murky and I can't see the bottom, I can't do it. Even if I'm on a boat, not interested. So I told him, now, if you want to go out to dinner, we can do that. But I'm not going to nobody's lake, okay? Not interested. He probably thought I was stuck up, but whatever, honey. So, and like I said, I didn't even know like all the details of Lake Lanier, but that was like the second introduction. That was just last summer. So when people were leaving comments like, yeah, Lake Piru reminds me of Lake Lanier with all the issues and people drowning. So I started researching, you know, just for my own edification. So I'm researching stuff on Lake Lanier, and I was so shocked at the things that I was able to find out. And what I found out is that Lake Lanier was basically a city, it was a town. I found out today from a lot of commentators in my Instagram comment section that it was a black town. See, the news media is trying to make it look like it was just an old town. But no, this was specifically a black town by black residents. And the black residents were basically chased out. But a lot of them refused to leave because that was their town. They had established, you know, their livelihood there and everything. And they decided to basically build a lake over this town because the town was in a perfect location to get water to the rest of, you know, Atlanta, as Atlanta was growing in other major cities around Atlanta. So they wanted to basically flood out this town and use it as a water reservoir slash lake. And what is so creepy is that even before they built Lake Lanier in the 50s, there were some issues that happened in that area back in 1912. So there was a town in that area called Oscarville. Okay, it was Oscarville, Georgia. And when you Google it, it comes up the racial cleansing that drove 1,100 black residents out of Oscarville. But when you go onto Google Maps, what's even more creepy is that where Oscarville should be is at the bottom of Lake Lanier. And so this was insane. So basically what went down is this. Yesterday, Lake Lanier was trending all over social media. And a lot of people in Georgia know that if Lake Lanier is trending, it's trending because somebody obviously drowned. So it was like a number one trending topic in Georgia and everybody was talking about it. Folks were, you know, posting messages of their encounters and things they've been through. And what led to that is that there was a young man. He was 17 years old, and he had drowned at Lake Lanier. So I'm going to go ahead and play you guys the news clip really quick. Go ahead and check this out.
Says 17-year-old Christopher Acosta Farias went under while swimming from a dock to the shore around 4 p.m. Friday afternoon. Crews recovered his body at Ballast Creek Park about an hour later. They still don't know why he went under.
All right, so you guys just saw that. And on top of that, I want to also show you guys a snippet of what the news posted a year ago about what's on the bottom of Lake Lanier. If you guys don't know, back in 2007, they were dealing with major drought. So the water receded, and when it did, literally, you saw a ghost town. There were still remnants of the town that they flooded out, still in, I mean, basically perfect condition because you could see the old saloon and, you know, barrels, and it looked like a ghost town from like the 1900s. It was insane, and people took a lot of pictures and videos and things like that. So then when it filled back up with water again, that's when people were like, you know what? Folks need to step out of here. There's literally an entire ghost town underneath Lake Lanier. So I want you guys to go ahead and check out this news clip really quick.
11 people have died in drowning or boating accidents on Lake Lanier this year, including a father and son. Charged with responding to all of those calls are divers with the local fire department.
11 Alive's Caitlin Ross shows you what they deal with under the surface of Lake Lanier. It's dangerous and deadly environment.
Clear and calm on the surface, Lake Lanier is anything but.
You can get yourself in trouble really quickly.
Lanier was built in the 1950s to provide drinking water and hydroelectric power for Atlanta. Recreation was an afterthought.
As they were building the lake, they raised the water level up to a certain point well below what we know of today as full pool, and then stopped filling the water.
From there, construction crews floated on the lake, cutting off the trees about halfway.
So today, those stumps are still there. And they're tall because this was forest land and farmland.
Also beneath the surface, old homes, barns, even a racetrack, which famously surfaced during the 2007 drought. You could see the tops of the stands, a haunted memory, waiting for spectators to show up for the next race. It's all good now, but when the next drought comes...
When that does, everyone needs to use extreme caution on the lake.
The Forsyth or Hall County dive teams respond to every rescue and recovery call.
Generally within the first hour, we're in what we call rescue mode. We're hoping that we can rescue someone.
No, I don't want to lose a diver.
Divers deal with frigid temperatures, near zero visibility, and all of those underwater hazards.
The bridges are like the trash bin for anyone traveling down the roads. They blew the old bridges in place, so you have concrete, rebar.
The divers work in teams, one person in the water and the other on the shore. They're tethered together by a rope and communicate by tugs on the rope. Divers say they never know what they're going to find.
It's bad enough that you got a loss of life, but you see their grieving family. And that's really why we do this. I couldn't imagine as a father, as a brother, you know, as a son, to see one of my loved ones disappear and have to go by this lake every day and just wonder. That I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
That is a tough thought to deal with. Yeah. So the biggest takeaway from our day with the dive teams, always wear a life jacket, even if you are an amazing swimmer.
Yeah, that's right. And there are so many hazards and deep drop-offs. You never know what's beneath that surface.
All right, so you guys just saw that news clip. So like I said, this has caused a lot of conversation. So now what's crazy is that Baller Alert had posted it as well, and they were saying Lake Lanier is trending because a 17-year-old boy drowned today. He went underwater and never resurfaced. So then what ended up happening is that T.I. and Tamika Foster both commented on that post. So that's what made it very, very interesting to me. So T.I. came on that post, and this is what he said. T.I. says, everyone from Atlanta know. And so it spurred like a lot of really good dialogue. Everybody was talking about it. Tamika later on came on there and she basically said, fuck Lake Lanier. And we know why she said that, because she lost her baby, you know, which is just horrible. So this whole situation was just very interesting and it caused a lot of interesting dialogue. And I'm noticing ever since I spoke about water spirits and things like that, I don't know, but I'm starting to see it be discussed a little bit in the mainstream. Waka Flocka did a really interesting interview with Mike Tyson on Mike Tyson's podcast. And they talked about, you know, things being in the water and how there are so many things in the water that we have not yet discovered. So I want to go ahead and play this for you guys really quick.
We always look up. Why don't we look down? Why don't we look in the ocean? Because it's more complicated.
Nah, I ain't fucking with that ocean. You on your own, baby. I ain't getting on no boats. Man, hell no. Nah. You couldn't tell me what's in that water. Nobody in this room knows what's in that water.
Yeah, we know less about the ocean than we do about the moon.
Yeah.
So they say. All right. Get some shit down there.
That's true.
Oh, absolutely. There's some monsters down there.
That's true.
There monsters down there. They can't see. They have to use the tentacles to feel. They have no eyes. It's too dark down there. There's no sunlight.
Man, they got a lake. Definitely. They got a lake in Georgia that people just mysteriously always die in. Like, disappear. No, this real shit. Like, one of my wife's friends was a lifeguard and jumped in that water and disappeared.
What? So you know someone.
Man, I'm dead ass serious. Like, I don't play with no water, man. Look it up.
Wow. What's the lake called?
Hey, Georgia Haunted Lake. Just go and type that in. Let's see what pop up.
Haunted.
Lakeland.
Georgia.
When the next rap show you going to? When's your next concert?
Next concert? Probably next year.
Yeah.
Lake Lanier?
Lake Lanier.
Lanier.
Georgia Lake, built over an entire town.
Oh, it's
built. Why is it on my birthday, May 31st, 2019? Why did they just write that? On my birthday?
Dude, weird. Shit's connected, bro. All right, it's all connected.
Sparked controversy over the last few weeks after a series of tragic incidents claimed the lives of multiple drowning victims. Over Memorial Day weekend, drowning victim, 30-year-old Reginald Terrell Whitehead went under the water and never resurfaced after falling off of his jet ski 24 hours prior to the Whitehead's accident. 61-year-old Michael Thompson of Gainesville drowned near a boat dock near Lake Leonard just weeks before April 28th. 17-year-old Dante Lane of Lithuania was pulled away from the water after nearly drowning. Latest reports list him in critical condition. Wow.
Whoa, dude.
Okay, so what's the deal? The lake is haunted? As a result of the multiple incidents reported, residents and visitors alike have changed that the lake is haunted. Holy moly.
What's this?
The Dove Love sign.
That motherfucker is. I don't know. Yeah, I play with
tricky.
Them.
That's crazy.
Yeah, don't play with them. They built a lake over a whole city. They drowned the city out.
All right, so you guys just heard what Waka Flocka had to say. So Waka Flocka is definitely telling the truth. Like I tell you guys all the time, we fight a lot of things, not just in the flesh, but we fight a lot of things that are unseen as well. And if you guys don't know, if you guys don't believe, you need to research and you need to realize that the things that happen are not coincidences. You know, when you have an entire town that was, you know, lived in and occupied by black people who worked hard to build up a town, and racism literally chased these people out. And for the ones who stood their ground and did not want to leave, they were basically flooded out. You cannot tell me that the spirits of those people are resting comfortably. There are also graves of people who had been killed from that massacre that I talked about earlier in the stream in 1912. A lot of their bodies from Oscarville, Georgia, a lot of those bodies in those graves are still there. They weren't moved. And that goes back to what I was saying on my live stream about the whole how I notice a lot of black people. I don't care if you're African, Caribbean, African-American. A lot of us tend to have a lot of issues with open water, lakes and oceans particularly. Now, we might go to a pool. If you're in New York, you have no problem if they open up the fire hydrant, you get wet. You know, we like sprinklers, slip and slides. But when it comes to open bodies of water, it's like it doesn't sit well with a lot of black people's spirits. Not everyone, because I understand that some black folks can swim like fish. You know, my little sister can swim, you know, so I don't want to stereotype anybody. But like I was saying in my live stream a few weeks ago, I believe a lot of that is residual feelings and stored emotions that were triggered from those past lives from my ancestors. And this might be just way too deep, and y'all might think I'm cuckoo, but that's just really what I feel like. Because I noticed that with a lot of black people, we have a lot of issues with open bodies of water. And when you think about the transatlantic slave trade, millions of people died on the way here. And some of them chose to kill themselves as opposed to, you know, continuing to be abused underneath the ship decks and, you know, made to just lay in their own filth. They felt that death was better than to continue dealing with what they were dealing with. Remember the infamous quote from Eric Killmonger in the Black Panther movie.
Just bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships, because they knew death was better than bondage.
Bury me in the ocean with my ancestors who jumped from ships because they knew death was better than bondage. That is so deep, you guys. Like, just even saying that gives me chills. You know, because so many times we think about the slaves that made it here and what they had to endure and the things that they went through. But imagine the ones who left their homeland and they're on these ships with these strange men. They don't know where they're going to go. Imagine how hard of a decision that was to literally throw yourself overboard, throw your babies overboard. And like I stated in my live stream, you know, it was so crazy that there would be sharks following these slave ships, because they knew it was an easy meal. There was a book that came out back in the day. Well, hell, way, way back in the damn day. Came out in the 1700s, 1780 to be exact. And it's called Sharks, Slave Ships, and the Depravity of Man. And so I want to read to you guys a small excerpt from the book. So it says here, sharks begin to follow the slave ships when they reach the Guinea coast of West Africa. What attracted the sharks, as well as other fish, was the human waste, the offal and rubbish that was continually thrown overboard. Like a greedy robber, the sharks attends the ships in expectation of what may drop overboard. A man who unfortunately falls into the sea at such times is sure to perish without mercy. If the sharks were the dread of the sailors, it was outright terror for the enslaved. No effort was made to protect or bury the bodies of the African captives who died on the slave ships. Slaving captains continuously used sharks to create terror throughout the voyage. They counted on sharks to prevent the desertion of their seamen and escape of their slaves during the long stays on the coast of Africa required to gather human cargo. So then they go on to tell a story about a woman who was basically fed to the sharks. So this story goes, a captain facing rage for suicide. So he was upset because the slaves on the boat were basically pulling a Killmonger where they were deciding to, you know, kill themselves and, you know, jump overboard. So he wanted to put even more fear into the slaves to show them, like, okay, it's not going to be a beautiful death. You just jumping overboard. This is what's going to happen to you. So what he did, basically, is that he grabbed a woman and he used her as a proper example for the rest. He ordered the woman tied with the rope underneath the armpits and lowered her into the water. When the poor creature was thus plunged in, about halfway down, she was heard giving a terrible shriek, which at first was ascribed to her fears of drowning. But soon after, the water appeared red all around her. She was drawn up, and it was found that a shark, which had followed the ship, had bitten her off from the middle. Other slave ship captains practiced this kind of sporting terror, using human remains to troll for sharks. Our way to entice them was by throwing overboard a dead Negro, which they would follow until they've eaten him up. So, like I stated, I believe that so many horrific things that happened during that middle passage. I mean, you figure close to 10 million slaves died during that middle passage. And I believe that a lot of that residual energy, because remember, energy cannot be destroyed, it just transforms. And I believe a lot of that energy is in the sea, it's in the water, and that's where a lot of the spirits are coming from. It's from the spirits of our ancestors. And that's why a lot of open water, especially oceans, really bother Black people. You know what I'm saying? And they tend to have a fear because of all that stuff that's just been ingrained in us spiritually from the Middle Passage, from the transatlantic slave trade. The shit goes really, really deep. I mean, y'all can do your own research, but I just wanted to, you know, kind of break that down real quick for you all who were asking me about the whole shark thing when I talked about it on my live stream. And that is why a lot of us have issues with open bodies of water. That's just my thought. You don't have to agree. But as far as everything that's going on in these lakes, like Lake Lanier and, you know, Lake Piru, and there's other lakes too. I mean, in any major city, there's always like a creepy lake that a lot of people drown in. They're like, you know, stay out that lake. It's something about that lake. I mean, you can find that in all types of cities. But I would just say to people, you know, if you're going to go out to lakes and if you're going to go out to open bodies of water, no matter how cool you think you are or how good of a swimmer you think you are, always keep on a life vest. Always keep on a life vest. I remember a few years ago, back when I was in high school, and this was before I even had kids, but he would have been my kid's cousin. But he ended up drowning. He was out there on, I believe it was Lake Minnetonka, I want to say. Him, his brother, and his biological father. They were all out there. And so he really couldn't swim that well anyways. And the biological father thought it was okay to allow his, you know, I think at the time they're like probably 16, 17 year old. They were a year apart. Allow them out there in the lake to swim. And the one little boy, the younger brother had on a life vest, but the older brother was, you know, he kind of thought he was too cool. He didn't want one. And he started struggling in the water. I think he was getting tired. All I know is the younger brother told me that, you know, he looked over and he seen him, you know, waving his hand, you know, trying to call for help, because drowning is a very silent death. Don't let the movies fool you. The movies make it seem like drowning is loud and there's all this splash and it's, oh, help me, help me. You can barely talk when you're drowning. You know, it's a very silent death. So he happened to glance over and he seen him stick his hand up, like kind of waving, and then he didn't see him come back up. And that's when they realized something was wrong and they rushed to go and try and get him. But I mean, by then you figure the water's probably like 20 to 40 feet. They couldn't get down there. So he was saved because he had on a life vest. The older brother didn't. He ended up drowning. They found his body a few days later. And I remember it was really sad. They had the funeral for him and everything. He was only like 17 years old at the time. So the whole situation is sad. So it's very real. You know, it's affected people in my family, you know, as far as drowning and things like that. So I would always say, be very cautious when you're dealing with open bodies of water, especially lakes. You know, always have on a life vest, because if you grow tired, if anything happens, at least that life vest will keep you afloat. And even if you happen to, let's say, drown, at least your body will at least be found and people can bury you and, you know, and have some type of closure. There's nothing worse than when somebody drowns and they never find the body again. You know, so everyone should be recommended and forced to wear a life vest, you know, no matter how uncool you think it is. I mean, if you're on the boat, that's one thing to have it off. But if you decide to get into the water, you need to have on your life vest. I believe that, you know, there are spirits in the water. There are spirits that can call you to the water, and there are things that can pull you under. And I know a lot of people, a lot of stories that's come from Lake Lanier. Some of the survivors have said that while they were drowning, they felt things pulling at their legs. It felt like hands. It wasn't branches. It wasn't, you know, alligators. It felt like somebody's hands pulling them down. You know, so many times we like to dismiss things because we don't want to go deep with it. But there are things in the water. And I believe different spirits use water as a way to, you know, transform and as a way to come in and out of different portals. You have to be careful and you have to, you know, pay close attention. If something does not feel right, do not go near the water. Because a lot of sacrifices happen. You know, especially with water spirits, they're always looking for a sacrifice. So if you're in the water and you don't have on a life vest and, you know, you're inebriated or drunk or intoxicated, you're going to fall victim to those spirits. And I believe that, you know, so I don't know. This is just the interesting topic. I want to talk about it. It was a lot of really good discussion on Instagram about it. And I like the fact that T.I. chimed in and Miss Tamika chimed in and a few other people, you know, chimed in and really talked about that, about, you know, the hauntings of some of these lakes and how they won't go near them with the 10-foot pole. And it's real. And like I said before, people are so quick to judge and be dismissive. Understand that there's a lot of principalities in our world, and some things are just way bigger than we can wrap our minds around. Don't be so quick to dismiss it as some mumbo jumbo shit, honey. We are dealing with some strange things in this 2020. All right. I had to go there. So on that note, thank you guys once again for joining me here on Tea Time Unfiltered with your girl, Lovely Tea. You guys can feel free to go ahead and leave a comment on YouTube. Let me know your thoughts on this. How do you guys feel about the latest drowning? How do you guys feel about what everybody's saying about Lake Lanier? Have you had any experiences on Lake Lanier? Anything, you know, paranormal or creepy? Do you know anybody who's drowned? There's been several drownings just in this month alone at Lake Lanier. It's insane. I was just going through a lot of those comments. It's just really sad. And if you have any tips, you know, for people, feel free to leave that as well. And once again, thank you for joining me for this Saturday podcast. And I'll talk to you guys later. Deuces. If I die young, bury me in satin, lay me down on a bed of roses, sink me in the river at dawn, send me away with the words of a love song. Thank you for listening to today's show. Make sure you join us again soon. For all the latest tea, make sure you follow me on my social media pages. Just put in LOVELYTI on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.